Welcome to Jericho Road. We're traveling through the Bible, as we do around here. We're going verse by verse, chapter by chapter right now through the letter to the Corinthians, that first letter. So let's turn there again. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is where we left off. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. As Ken mentioned, just want to express to all you veterans, thank you for your service. And indeed, hope the holiday was a nice day for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I want to begin our time with a question that's just to help us kind of prepare ourselves and to just kind of be thinking about that which the Lord would have for us this morning. Now, when I ask you this question, it of course is just to be considered quietly, not to be answered out loud, but just to let the Lord speak to us through all this. But I do encourage you to really think about this question carefully. The question goes something like this. How would you answer this? If I could just change blank, if I could just change blank about my circumstances, I could serve the Lord so much better and be stronger spiritually. What might you put in there? Again, not to be answered out loud, but what might you put in there? What thing are you thinking of if it just weren't for this circumstance? If it just wasn't for this situation? If I could just change this, boy, I could know the Lord so much better. I could be used by him better. What might you put in there this morning? Well, Paul's going to speak to that struggle this morning. We left off at chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. We left off at verse 17. Let's jump in there. Verse 17. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so are ordained in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. Like many of us today, apparently those in Corinth were thinking if they could just change their life circumstance, if somehow they could just change a particular point in their life, change their station in life, then they'd be able to follow the Lord so much better. Apparently they were in thinking that maybe that's what God would want for them, to make some kind of change along that way. You see, it's so possible, and oftentimes we fall in the trap of looking around instead of looking up. We look around at our circumstances and think somehow they're going to set the pace in terms of my growth with the Lord, by being used, my experiencing his best. And we find ourselves looking at our circumstances as somehow being the determining factor in that. Well, Paul's going to set that all straight this morning. Verse 17, he says this, but as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk, and so I ordain in all the churches. I've called our time together this morning, so let him walk. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to take away the distractions now, whether they're external or internal. Lord, you know there are many things that tug on us and our minds can drift off to, but Lord, there's something you'd want to say to us. There's a place of encouragement or exhortation or whatever you'd have. Our great need is to be open and ready of heart to hear. So Lord, work in that way that only you can. Speak to us about that whole issue of our usability, our circumstances, your take on where we're at and all this. Thank you, Lord. It's all rooted in your love. Help us to hear it as such now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So let him walk. I've called our time together this morning. Again, it's rhetorical, but just want us to continue to think about this for a moment. Do you sometimes think that if you could just make a change in your living circumstances, then you could serve the Lord so much better? If perchance that is what you sometimes think, just know that it's not an uncommon thought. For some, perhaps it's the thought that if I just wasn't married, If I didn't have to spend all of my time and energy on the marriage and taking care of the home and all those things, then I could really dedicate myself to what God would have for me. For others, it might be the opposite. If I could just get married, if I just have to fight this loneliness and all, if I could just have a companion this whole journey, then my walk with the Lord would be so much better. Or for others, it just might be some other circumstance in life. For some of them, I say, if I were just more secure financially, if I just had a different social standing, somehow we're more popular or something, more people or something. For others, it might be if I just had better health, if I could just work through this health issue, just didn't have this physical ailment plaguing me. But Paul is going to explain, it isn't where we are. It isn't our circumstances, it's who we belong to. And you'll see what I mean by that, hopefully by the time we get to the end of our time. Let's remind ourselves where we're at in the big picture here. Paul began the first six chapters of 1 Corinthians dealing with problems he'd heard about there at Corinth. Then as he gets to chapter 7, he actually begins to answer direct questions they'd ask of him. A messenger, or some messengers had shown up to Paul. He's over at Ephesus now. And they've shown up, and they actually have some questions from the church at Corinth. He was the founding pastor there, the apostle God used, and they have some questions about their circumstances. So chapter 7 began right there. Look at it. Remember he says, verse 7, verse 1, "Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me." So he's now beginning to answer those. Verses 1 through 16, the prior verses before our verses this morning, really had to do with issues of marriage and singleness, about the relationship within marriage and all, towards that end. Verses 1 through 9 were really about the purity of marriage. And then verses 10 through 16, we looked at last week, and those are about the permanence of marriage, the purity of marriage, then the permanence of marriage. But now Paul turns his attention to what must have been a question from them about whether it would be better to make some sort of change in their circumstances if they're really going to be able to follow the Lord, if they're really going to be able to grow in the Lord, know the Lord, serve the Lord. Shouldn't I change something about my life? I was saved in a certain condition. Should I change it? Should I make some kind of circumstantial change? Wouldn't that be the way to go? Let's look at Paul's answer, verse 17. "But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so are ordained in all the churches." Paul's answer to whether they should make some big change in life, now that they're saved, is to say no. Rather, walk with God where you are right now. And he says, this is for all believers. He says, I commit this to, I ordain this in all the churches. It's not just aimed at those in Corinth, but it's for all believers. Apparently, he made this a point of teaching this wherever he went. That my walk does not have to be determined by my circumstances. Indeed, I'm not to look around at my circumstances to determine those things, but instead, I'm to look up. I draw it from the vertical to be lived out on the horizontal, is what he's going to be teaching us. So to make it clear, Paul now gives us some circumstances that certainly they might say, what am I supposed to do about this? These circumstances he brings up are really examples. Examples of callings, conditions, circumstances that they found themselves in, and they're examples of situations we might find ourselves in. Let's take a look at it. Verse 18. "Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing. An uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters." So Paul begins by emphasizing this. Your walk with God is not determined by outward things, by your outward circumstances here. Remember, the idea of circumcision and uncircumcision is Jew and Gentile. And that was a ritual procedure that the Jews went through to identify themselves as a Jew. But the danger is they became to look at those kind of things instead of the inner work. And he points out here, it's not about the outside. The Gentile doesn't have to become a Jew or vice versa. Because it's not about appearance. It's not about religious rituals he's driving home. He says, what is it? It's about doing what God says, right where you are. Verse 20, let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. He began this section, verse 17, by basically saying that. He goes back to it again. He makes the declaration. Then he gives an example. He goes back to the point again. Remain where you're called. We'll return to this point in just a moment. Verse 21, his next example. Another situation, circumstance that some of them found themselves in. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Paul now goes to the example of those who were slaves when they got saved. Slaves were very common in that day and in that culture. In the Roman Empire, there were a whole lot of slaves. And so we can be pretty sure that in that new church there, that fledgling group of believers there at Corinth, there probably was a mixture of those who weren't, but all probably many who were indeed slaves. For whatever reason, they were slaves to a master. And of course, obviously their question was, shouldn't I get out of that? Shouldn't there be some kind of a change there? If I'm really going to serve the Lord, follow the Lord, I mean, if I have a master, he's going to demand time of me and energy that I could be going to church instead, or I could be serving somewhere instead. But he says an interesting thing here. Now remember, this isn't theory to them. There's probably many who were slaves in that church, and they're wondering about what they're supposed to do about it. Paul says what? Don't be concerned about it. Easy for you to say, Paul. I'm a slave. I think it'd be good to get out of this thing. Don't be concerned about it, he says. What does he mean by that? Well, in a moment he's going to say, if you can be made free, do it. But what's he trying to say? Being a slave, he's saying, is not going to keep God from working in you or through you. Think of Joseph in the Old Testament, that favorite son, but sold by his brothers into slavery. Think of all that Joseph went through. I mean, tough stuff. But he could get to the end after he'd been finally made right-hand man to Pharaoh and had been used by God to deliver his family from the famine back in the homeland and everything else. But remember, Joseph could finally stand there and say what? He'd say, you know, all that you brothers did to me and all, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You thought this was a bad thing, and I did too at times maybe. But looking back, I can say, but God was at work through the whole thing. God orchestrated this. God used it for good. I wonder where we are in that process sometimes of realizing. How often it is we look back in life and say, wow, now I see how God was using it. How he's working that thing in my life or my life into that thing. But at the time, we don't get it. We want out of it. We're so sure if I could just be delivered from it, oh, then I could do so much better with God. But later we look back and say, oh, now I get it. And that's what he says. But God meant it for good. Now I see his hand was upon the whole thing. So that's what he's trying to say here. Verse 22 is interesting. For he was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he was called while free is Christ's slave. You are bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. We've seen this before, but Paul's doing it again here. He is declaring that the entrance of Jesus into our lives changes our ownership. I'm not my own anymore. I was a slave to sin. I had the shackles, the chains of slavery, slavery to sin and all. But Jesus went into the marketplace and he redeemed me and you if you receive Christ. He purchased us and set us free from that. And so he's trying to remind them, whatever your outside situation may be right now, know this. Spiritually, in terms of the real you, is how God sees you. You're his. You've been set free, but you're his now. There's a whole new change of ownership. Now, he does say, if you can become free, fine, go for it, but just use it for the Lord now. Verse 24. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. Someone said this passage of Scripture is like a Big Mac. What do they mean? You got the piece of bread and then some stuff right there. Then another piece of bread, some more stuff, that piece of bread. Three times, beginning, middle, and end of this paragraph, of this section, Paul makes basically the same point. Let's look at it again. Verse 17. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk, and so are ordained in all the churches. Go to verse 20. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Verse 24. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. I think there's a theme here. You're taught when you study the Bible, look for repeated words. Look for themes that repeat, because that's what God's trying to drive home, and it's clear here. Don't think you have to get out of where you're at for God to work. That God can work in, is working in and through us in those situations if we're not the weak link in this whole thing. Why? Why is Paul making this repeated point on all this? Because it's crucial for every follower of Jesus to know this. And it's going to set us free from thinking that circumstances determine our usefulness, our relationship to the Lord. It's important we do that because we often are pulled into the opposite thinking in that regard. We're very often, I'm sure, that if I could just change something, then I would do better with him. I'd be closer. I'd know him better and all. So Paul, the Lord, through Paul, wants us to understand this idea. More than one Bible teacher has titled this section, Bloom Where You're Planted. Bloom where God has put you, is what he's saying. And you can see why. Because what's the main principle here? We can and we should live for God where we are right now. That might change tomorrow. But right now, I can let him work in and through me in these circumstances. And we're not to think that somehow he can't. We're not to think that my growth in the Lord, my knowing the Lord, is determined by those circumstances. Now, let me clarify. They're getting saved. They're wondering, am I supposed to change something significant here after getting saved? Supposed to quit my job, go live on a mountain somewhere? What am I supposed to do in all this? He says, no. God can work right where you're at. He wants to work right where you're at. Let me mention this. This doesn't mean that we're not to improve our life when called to. There's nothing wrong with wanting to move along in our job. There's nothing wrong when we're offered promotion. Nothing wrong with going back to school that we could get a better job or something. That's what he's saying. He's not saying, just stay right where you are, never get a promotion. Never. No, he's trying to teach us, but where you are doesn't limit you. You're not going to have to get that promotion for God to finally work. God makes no mistakes. He can work in you right where you're at right now, is the idea. The idea that you should let, stay where you're at, if God moves you on, great, but let God work where you're at. These guys were getting saved. They're wondering, should I stay in that situation at all? That doesn't mean that when you get saved, or even today, if you're in something that God wouldn't have, then yes, that one you're to get out of. If you get saved and you are a drug dealer, if you get saved and you say, well, I'm a thief, that's how I make my living, guess I'm supposed to stay a thief, it says. Just stay in the calling I'm called to. You weren't called to be immoral. You weren't called to do things that are illegal. Yes, of course, we're to forsake those things and come out of those things. That's not the issue that he's talking about there. But what's awesome here is when it comes to the things that we do. in our lives, be it marital status and home and school and work and everything else. What Paul is helping do here is he's elevating our circumstances, hopefully elevating our view of our circumstances, to see them as God-given opportunities, God-given places. Hopefully see us as God sees our circumstances, not as hindrances, but as the means by which he so often works in us or through us. Yes, even in your and my situation. Those things were so sure that if they just were different and we put in those things, he wants us to have a new take at all this, to see them as he sees them. Because the point of all this, again, is our circumstances are where God has put us, and they are where we are to grow in him and be used by him right there. You remember the admonition Paul said is, whoever calling you're in, so let him walk. The word walk is a Christian term we use, Bible term we use, to talk about our manner of living. You know, how's your walk? How's your walk in the Lord? That's what it means, is how are you doing with the Lord? What place does he have in your life? How are you behaving? How are you tracking with him? That's what we mean when we say. So that's what he's saying. When he says, so let him walk, it means so live. Live in that place. Let him have all of it, but never think that it determines this, the vertical. The call is to live our lives in Jesus. When we do that, and this is a good point, our fellowship with him impacts the situation. But if we're not walking in fellowship, then it gets reversed. But I'm supposed to walk with him so that my relationship impacts the situation, not the situation impacting me. I wonder how much it would change our grumbling, our moaning, our complaining about our circumstances if we could see them as he does, as being put there by him, to be used by him, to grow in him, to be used by him. Our conditions, the pressures, the stresses of our circumstances often drive us to think, I got to get out of this. Certainly God would want me out of it. I can't, nothing good could be in this. But then so often when you look back in life, what we see is, whoa, it was that circumstance that I came to know him so much better. It was that pressure that molded and shaped me to be a little more like Jesus. It was going through that and crying out to him or whatever it is that he was able to work in me through it and me into it. I always find that's the case. In every circumstance, God either wants to work in me through it or through me in it, and usually both. And think I would change if we saw that basically every person we run into, every circumstance we bump up into or find ourselves in, what if we started really saying, Lord, instead of where's the door, to look up and say, Lord, what do you have? How do you want to use me here? What are you trying to show me in it? All that brings me to two points that are my heart to focus on this morning. Let's take a look at these two things. First point, go back to verse 21. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather, use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. There is an expression, a phrase, that really got my attention at the end of verse 21. Straightforward, pretty basic. And yet, I found myself, as I was percolating on this and thinking it through and what we're going to share and what God would have, that phrase just kept jumping out on me and it got me thinking about it. Paul says, if you're a slave when Jesus found you, don't be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather, use it. And that's the wording I want to think about for a moment. Just that simple phrasing. Whatever your circumstances are, use it. Lord, am I letting you use the things of my life? Am I so busy complaining about them, mad about them, want out of them? Or am I saying, Lord, use this in me or through me? Think about that phrase. He says, whether you're a slave or not, if you become free, great. Either way, use it. Because what's his argument he goes on to? Because in the end, you have new ownership. You belong to the Lord now. And so whatever condition you're in, use it. But extend that, if you would, to other circumstances. I believe the principle still holds. If we extend it to other situations, we get a flavor of what Paul is saying. Whatever our circumstances are, use them. Let everything we do and everything we have be fair game for God to work in us or through us right there. To that, someone might say, that's real easy for you, Pastor, but you don't know my circumstances. You don't know my situation. You're saying, hey, don't let those things be a hindrance. They don't have to be. Let God work in you through it and all, but you don't know. You don't know my situation. I probably don't. Some people I do. I know you all have to know some of your circumstances. Sometimes through counseling, I know some of the situation, but you're right. I may not know. I don't know maybe what your situation is. But of course, God does. And God may indeed change your situation at some point. Your circumstance might just be for a season. You might get that new job very soon. Some other circumstance might indeed change. Your health may improve. Whatever it is, I don't know. But the point is, what about right now? What about where we're at right now? That's what his point here is. You see, while something may change, for now, use it. Use where God has you and let him use it. Look at verse 24 here. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. Very similar to verse 20. Verse 20, let each one remain the same calling in which he was called. But in verse 24, Paul added a phrase that I want to highlight here, this idea of using where we're at and letting him use it. Do you notice the phrase he added that wasn't in 20 is now in 24? I think he adds it just to make sure we understand that it definitely isn't even part of it all. What's the phrase he adds? With God. Notice what he says there? But each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. It is an awesome and important good. It's a good reminder. You know that circumstance that you wish could be changed and if it were just different? Well, Paul is reminding, he says, you're not alone in it. You are not alone in that circumstance with God. What a difference that makes to remember in those times that we think, oh, this can't be right. I got to get out of this. Wait a minute. Believer, he is with you and in you. And he says here, let each one remain. And he points out that you're with God in that state. We are in that office with God. We are in that factory with God. We are on that job site with God. We're in that classroom with God. We're in that home with God. Therefore, God, being with me, wants to work. And we're to see it as that, that he's with me there, and I've got a decision to make. Lord, you're right here with me. Now I can moan and complain about it, or I can use it. What will it be? Will I just complain or will I use it? Will I use it to know, to grow, and then to show the Lord to others? You notice I had to get those to work together there. We can know him in it, we can grow in him in it, and we can show him in it. But I wonder, I think sometimes we struggle with this one. We're pretty sure, it's got to change for me to be able to do those things. You say, nope, it's those very things that are often tools to work that work in us. The second point after declaring, use it, that brings us to our second point. If you've been with us the last few weeks, you know that after each section here, I point us back to what Paul said as he began, before he began answering the questions. Remember, original writing letter doesn't have chapter and verse. It's all one letter. We put that in for our sake. Go back to chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. We've done this each week, but for this very purpose, to remind us of how Paul sees all this, the context for it, and it's going to be awesome in his application here in this one. Remember, as he said there in verses 19 and 20 of chapter 6, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God, he says. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Since our body and our spirit are in that circumstance, they're on that job. If you're on the job and your body is not there, you're not going to get paid. Your body is there, and your spirit lives inside that body. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. So what I'm saying is your body and spirit are right there in that circumstance. So Paul says, glorify God in the body, in your body and your spirit. Your body and spirit are right in that circumstance. That must mean I can glorify Him in the circumstance. Indeed, it's the only place I can do that, because that's where I am. And we're so sure, no, that circumstance won't let me. He's trying to say, yes, it will, if we'll draw from the vertical and express it on the horizontal and not ask the horizontal to be what it was never designed to be. Oh, I could just have peace if things were different at work. Where in the Bible does it say that peace is a fruit of your work situation? It says a fruit of the Spirit. And on it goes. But we get our focus off. And Paul's trying to get that straight, or the Lord is, get it back on what it would be. Since our bodies and our spirit are in that circumstance, we're on that pathway, that means it's to be used to do just that, to glorify God right there. Did you notice how Paul spoke of being purchased again? We just read it at the end of chapter 6, but in verse 23 he said it again, you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. That must have been a key point in Paul's preaching. And it's meant to help us understand the significant change and give us a new focus on our situations. Paul directly here applies that statement to the condition of being a slave, that whether you are a slave or free man in terms of politically and economically and in this worldview, you now belong to Him. You've been set free from all that stuff and you belong to Him now. Now use it. Use that situation for Him. Again, we see, apparently Paul thought that settling who we belong to means that wherever He has us, we're to use it for His purposes. So it comes back to settling the ownership that He might redeem the circumstances. You are His man, His woman in that circumstance. I have seen and been the privilege of watching a lot of you do just what we're talking about today. I have watched in this fellowship as people have let their health situations, instead of being a place that tore them down and beat them up, was a place they let God work in it and work through them as a testimony to others and all. I've watched people use their physical conditions. I've watched people use their work conditions, that job site where every foul word is thrown around and everything's going on, but I've watched them shine in the midst of the darkness around them. Indeed, oftentimes we shine brightest when it's darkest. So I've watched so many of you do that. Do just this talk about letting God use you right where you are. And again, it might change tomorrow. Where we're at right now, it might just be for a season. It might be for a lifetime. But I know I see so many using their marital status, using everything for God. Some of our circumstances do indeed change. But if we just let them be used by Him, we're going to look back and we'll really be able to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the big picture. Again, some of us will indeed maybe have a change. You know, you will get that promotion. A new job is coming maybe. A new season in life will begin. But let's not let it ever be said that even if we moved on from that job, even if we moved on from that circumstance, even though the health got better, whatever, let it never be said that we didn't let God have His way while we were in it. Because that's going to bring back that good memory, so to speak. That sense of, wow, Lord, I knew you got to know you better through it, and you did redeem it. And you showed yourself stronger, whatever it was. Let it never be said that we're all about us in it, but instead we're about Him. And then we can look back and say, wow, Lord, tough season, but I see now you redeemed it. And I want to reiterate that. So often, many times, it's that very pressure that changed us for the better. The very thing that, how many times in life you go, oh, I wish I could have this, I hate this. Then you look back and say, oh, now I see what you're doing, Lord. You're speaking to me about my pride or whatever it was. And you had to get our attention. There's so many things going on in that. So let's go back to our question now that I began with. That question of, if I could only change this, then I could grow in the Lord. Then I could know Him better. Then I could be used by Him. If I could just change this thing. What thinking might we have to change based on this section of God's Word? What might He want to take? If that thing we're putting in there, if it just wasn't for that, if I could just change that, then I could be used. Then I could be strong in Him. Then I could know Him and shine for Him and all. That phrase, I wonder how He might want to change it or give us a new take on it. Would you be open to that? It's rhetorical. Don't answer out loud. But would you be open to that this morning if it applies? Again, if your tracker with God is using everything, great, keep it up. Just keep it up right where you're at. Let Him use everything. But I wonder if you, to be honest, you know, if we were to say, oh, yeah, I got some things there. I've always find myself saying, if I could just change this thing. Based on this passage, let God show you how He might want to see it. How He might want to show it to you. What He's doing in it. Whatever He wants to do there. Are you using it all for Jesus? If you are, great. Again, I get a chance to see that many times around here. Praise God. But if not, if indeed you'd have to say, yeah, I got some things that definitely would go in that slot, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to give us, if we're struggling with this, to give us a fresh sense of Him right there in it. It's with God. And He's not a God who goes, oops, oh, I didn't mean to have you there. Oh, I goofed up in that one. Oh, what a mistake. No, He's able to work and strengthen, provide needs, whatever we're thinking there. He's able to do those things. Ask Him to give us a fresh sense of Him right there in it and how He would have us to use it. To let Him work in me or through me, whatever He would have. To what end? To God's glory. Invite the worship team up. There'll be prayer partners available on the far right back here in the right, your left in the corner there. If you need prayer this morning, they count it a privilege to pray with you. We're going to spend some time responding to the Lord and worshiping the Lord. But as we do, let the Lord speak to us about it. If we have to say, yeah, there were things I put in there, say, Lord, give me your take. Help me see your provision, your plans, your purposes, or whatever it might be, how you want to use this in there, how you want to use me in it. And watch how that changes how we see our days and we go through. Every interaction, people that come along, all our circumstances, that He's there with me. He wants to use it in me and me in it. use it. And he wants to the end for all just a point of how very awesome our God is. Father, we set before you this which you set before us and saying, Lord, if there's something that we feel limits you, if there's something we're blaming or moaning or complaining about or something, Lord, in your love, just place your finger on that thing. Help us have your take on it. Help us know you're with us and you're more than sufficient for everything. And Lord, help us not to be looking around for what only you can give. And help us just see it as just that, as fair game for you to work in us and through us, our very situations. Lord, I'm just saying, Lord, we want you to be glorified. So show us, Lord, how we might use it for you. In Jesus' name. Amen.